Lingard wasted in praising God with hymn number 100.
Stevens, yes.
100, thank you. With hymn number 100. Let's sing verses 1, 2, and 4.
Greetings, one and all. We're so thankful to be able to gather in God's house again this morning, a beautiful worship day that we can celebrate together, the risen Christ, our Lord and Savior. In 1 Corinthians 1, Paul wrote this, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." I thought about that verse because we are coming together as a church family, as a body of believers, to do what today? To do what we were created to do, to bring glory to God. And let us do that in every aspect of our gathering here in this place. Let's do that through prayer, through thanksgiving, through singing, through fellowship, and of course, in hearing God's word. I would like to welcome those on Zoom, of course, and our guests who are with us today, Brother Willie, Sister Barb, Brother Dave, Sister Frida. Thank you for coming. So happy that you're here. Do we have greetings from the brothers?
Yeah, we bring a lot of greetings from the brethren in Ancaster, but also from my three sons and their wives, and especially from my father. I want to remember each one of
them. Thank you. Our hearty and heartfelt greetings and love to the family there, especially Uncle Joe.
Also bring a lot of greetings to the service.
Yes, thank you, Brother Dave.
We visited with Mike Smith yesterday. He's not feeling well enough to come to church, but he wants to be remembered, and he sends his greetings.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Frank.
We also got a phone call from Alan and Vita, and
right, thank you. And I don't. Did they mention to you that they plan to stop by, Lord willing, on the way home from camp?
Yes, they mentioned that.
So we'll look forward to that. Lord willing, a visit from Alan and Vita as they travel back sort of circuitously to Florida from camp.
Yeah,
but
we also got a letter from Bill Hoosty's daughter. They had moved to Florida, I guess, now.
Uh-huh.
So they just
great. Good, good. And maybe we could, I don't know, Brother Harry, add, do we have a spot on our list of addresses, distribution list, for those who have moved away? Maybe if we'd want to send her a card or something from time to time, as we do, I don't know. But we'll hang on to that address, so that would be good.
I spoke with Jimmy Hodges, and he sent us.
Oh, thank you. Great.
And I bring greetings from the Richmond Hills congregation.
Thank you, Brother Mario. Appreciate that. So happy you're back safely. Okay. As far as announcements, real quickly, please keep Sister Cheryl, in your prayers, as she will undergo another knee surgery this Wednesday. Pray that all will go well and that she'll be pain-free soon. We're thankful for the Lord's provision there. Also, as mentioned, keeping Brother Mike Smith in prayer, please. He's still struggling. Sister Chris, struggling with her right shoulder. Not as if the left's any better, but at least maybe in comparison to the right. So we just pray that all works out well with the testing yet to do, and we'll keep you in prayer. Also, we heard from Mary Gibson, her grandson. Remember, Nicholas was up here for evaluation and hopefully surgery. Unfortunately, their time on the visa was running out, and all the paperwork was taking so much time to get approval here in the States that they had to leave. So they went back to Brazil, and Nicholas will be having surgery down there. So, again, continue to keep him in prayer for that. Wednesday will be our concluding Bible study for this season, and we, as you know, adjourn in July and August. So, keep Brother Mike in prayer as he wraps up his wonderful study in Philippians. And come to church or also be on Zoom for that. And regarding today's schedule, we are going to have a meeting at 1 p.m. following lunch. And it'll be a meeting for the brothers to share with us some encouragement, exhortation, and what they've learned from their discussions with each of us. So all who participated in those interviews are welcome to attend and encouraged strongly to attend the meeting at 1 o'clock. And even if you didn't participate, you're welcome. I can't think of anybody here who didn't, but I think you all did. Did I miss anything, brothers, in terms of announcements? No? All righty. Then keep Brother Dave in our prayers, who will divide God's word this morning. And before he comes forward, let's all rise and sing the greeting hymn 330. And let's sing verses 1, 2, and 3. Hymn number 330. Thank you.
It's truly a joy to be here with you folks. I don't know when I was here last, which is not a good sign. And really, the Syracuse and Woodcliffe Lake congregations have a long history of being together, working together. You know, your elders for a time were Uncle Philip and Uncle Guy. And then I think my dad, and then when Brother Johnny was elected, he was like my dad's right hand in so many ways. And they had such a bond that was so close. And it's kind of sad that my dad can't travel that much anymore. But he always wonders, you know, how's Johnny doing? So I'm so thankful that I can be here. And when you mentioned Brother Bill's daughter, the last time I remember talking with Brother Bill, he was in Syracuse. And we got to church, and he said to me, "Brother David, at the mobile station on the corner is a young woman that might be interested in the gospel." He said, "I was just down there talking with her." And he could get to the conversation of salvation so quickly. And I've always wished that I had that gift. So, precious memories. Let's invite the Lord into our midst. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, that on this first day of the week we could gather together with loved ones, children of God. Lord, to be taught by Thee, to be instructed by Thee, to be encouraged, to be admonished. Lord, whatever You might have for us, as a Father that loves us, we ask that You might deliver it to us through Thy servant. Lord, we pray that Thou mightest be with those that couldn't be with us in person, that through the power of Thy Holy Spirit, they might feel a connection with us today. For truly, Heavenly Father, we are bound by Thy Spirit, together with cords of love. So, Lord, do far more than we can ask, and we will thank Thee for it in advance, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Dear ones, it's Father's Day. And as I thought about that, I wondered what message the Lord would give us today. There's times when I'm less than excited to have to deliver a message on a holiday, because you try to figure out how can this be fresh? And I had Mother's Day in Syracuse, and it was looking as though I was going to have Father's Day in Syracuse. When I looked at the schedule, I thought, oh, I'll be out of town. And what was interesting is I looked at the brothers around the table last Sunday, and I just said, "So brothers, I'm going to be in Woodcliffe Lake. Who of you might be willing to have the message?" And I looked at Brother Urs, who's just home from Florida, and I said, "Brother Urs, would you be willing to have Father's Day?" And he just shook his head, no. So I think Brother Rod is having it today. But the Lord has led me, not surprisingly, to the parable of the prodigal son. So as comments were made during Bible class, I thought the Lord has been working in this. So I'd like you to turn with me to Luke chapter 15, beginning with the 11th verse. And as we read this together, I'd like you to think about fathers that you've known. Maybe not fathers in the flesh, but fathers that are blood fathers in your lineage, but other fathers that you've known, spiritual fathers that you've known. So, beginning with verse 11, Luke 15. "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he was come to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and ran and had compassion and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh unto the house, and heard the music and the dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him, saying, and he answered, saying to him, Lo, father, all these many years I do serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Through verse 32. Familiar story. Story we've all heard as long as we've come through the doors of church. A beautiful story. We have a son who didn't appreciate what he had. We had a son who thought that the grass was greener on the other side and inwardly rebelled against his father's will and his father's ways. There was probably some transgressing of his father's commandments even before he left. We know that his heart was not right. Because he gets to this point where he thinks he knows better than everybody else, and he says to his father, Give me my portion. Give me what's rightly coming to me. And I've always marveled in the parable that the father didn't say, But son. The father gave it to him. And he left. And he went out and he blew it, as the world would say. He blew everything that he was given. He wasted everything that he was given. And he wasted it in very improper ways, immoral ways. Ways that even the world would have been surprised at how low he could sink. And when he has nothing left, and just imagine this, a Jewish boy feeding swine. And he's hungry. And he's thirsty. And he can't even eat what the pigs are eating. And in that moment, he comes to himself and he says, You know, my servants had it so much better. My father treated his servants better than I'm being treated here. I'm going to go back and I'm going to be a servant in my father's house. And I love how, you know, and so often in the past, I've focused on this repentance that came to his heart and his mind, when he could get to his mind where he could say, you know what, this isn't right. I'm lost. I'm going to go back. And maybe I can find a place in my father's house as a servant. And I think each one of us that has come to the point in life where we've surrendered our life to the Lord has come to that prodigal son moment when we realized there was nothing we could do. We had to go back to the Father. For me, I remember that night vividly. For years, I thought I could make the changes that God wanted me to make. God convicted me of my sin. I thought, I'm going to follow this. I'm going to obey what the scriptures say, and I can do this. And I remember one night laying at the cottage at Otisco Lake, an August night, couldn't sleep, and realized there was absolutely nothing that I could do to heal myself. And just to give you an idea of what my mindset was like back then, some of you knew me back then, when my parents purchased the cottage from Aunt Sophie, there were bedrooms that you could pick from. And I quickly picked the best bedroom. I picked the bedroom that had a sink in it, where the aunties used to sleep, two of them. It was probably the biggest. But you know what was wrong with that room? The windows were really high. There was one little room, one little window on the one side by the closet, but the other windows, and it was almost a wall of windows, those windows were very, very high, probably 4.5 feet off the floor. So in the summer, any cool breeze that went through those windows went up over the walls, because the walls didn't go all the way to the ceiling, went up and then went out the windows in other people's bedrooms. The other people's bedrooms had windows at the bed level, so any cool breeze would cool the room. It was like God knew that there was going to be a night when He was going to have to show me a lesson. And I sat there sweating while the rest of the family was cool because of my own arrogance and pride and desire to have the best. That night, I remember I fell on my knees and I just said, God, if You don't heal me, there's no hope for me. And only then did my conversion really start to take over. God finally had me where He needed me. Just in the parable, this young man was finally where he needed to be. I need to go back home. What I love about the lesson today, the scripture, the parable, is not that the young man repented. That's a wonderful piece. But that the father saw him when he was afar off. I wonder how many days the father went to the lane and looked down the lane. My guess is daily. The father expected the son to come back. The father had a belief that this son was going to change his mind. And every day, I'm guessing, he got up and he went out to the lane to look. Is he coming yet? And when he saw him yet afar off, he ran to him and grabbed him and kissed him. And the father and the son interrupts the father and he says, Father, Father, you know, forgive me for I've sinned. I've sinned against You. I disrespected You. I disrespected the family. I disrespected God. Can I find a place in Your household as a servant? You just tell me what You'd like me to do. Tell me, you know, I'll do anything. Can I please be a servant? And the father says to his other servants, get the best robe. Get the family ring. My son was lost and he's found. He was dead and he's alive. Let's rejoice. That ring meant so much to that family because that ring was what he could use to now sign as the signator for the family that he was truly an heir and had the right to be called a son. Whenever I read that part of this parable, I'm reminded of a story my dad used to tell. My grandpa was not a very outspoken man. Grandpa Friend didn't speak much. I'm not even sure he prayed out loud at home. I better ask that question before my dad is gone, because my uncle's already gone. So honey, remind me to ask Dad that question. My dad would say that only once in his life does he remember his father quoting him scripture. Grandma quoted lots of scripture. Grandma Friend quoted him lots of scripture. Grandpa only once. They were selling the farm. And my grandpa had used his boys and their agriculture class in school to cultivate a dairy herd that was second to none in central Ohio. So they had Holsteins, which are known for a lot of milk, a lot of pounds of milk per cow, but the butterfat is typically very low. But Grandpa, long before there were computer databases to find the best bulls to raise the best butterfat, and your grandpa would, my dad said, Grandpa would take the milk, give them to the boys. They'd go to ag class. They'd identify the milk. You know, they'd break down the milk. What are we missing? What do we need to add? And then he would look through catalogs of who had a bull that could help raise the butterfat. Now, I don't remember the details. My dad can tell you exactly the percentage. But his dairy herd was so sought after that dairy farmers came from hundreds of miles when they heard that that herd was for sale to buy the cows and the heifers. So it's coming today for the cattle were auctioned off. The implements were auctioned off. The farm had been sold to a man. And now there's a barn, and in the loft of the barn, it was full of hay. And the deal was that the hay would be auctioned off. It did not go with the farm. And everybody knew that. And the man that was buying the farm is standing there, and the auctioneer goes and says, okay, now we've got this one last thing. We've got this loft full of, and they probably identified how many bales of hay were in that loft. And the man stops the auctioneer and says, no. That hay goes with the barn. And the auctioneer said, I'm sorry, sir, you're wrong. It's right here. And he says, no, the hay goes with the barn. And he looked at my grandpa. And my grandpa said to the auctioneer, just move on. The hay goes with the barn. And my dad interrupted. He said, Dad, but you know that's a lie. And my dad turned to him and quoted the scripture in Proverbs. A good name is to be cherished above great riches. And he walked away. And when my dad went back to his dad, he said, but Dad, why did you do that? He said, Bob, all of our neighbors were here. It's not about the hay. And all of our neighbors know that that man got hay that he didn't own. But they'll remember that we took the high road. So, my dad, a few years later, and that really doesn't connect with the parable, but it does connect with the character of my dad, of my grandpa. My dad's repenting. And the Lord says to him, you need to go ask forgiveness of your father. And he said, that was a hard one. Just because he didn't want to be vulnerable in front of his dad. And I remember when the Lord told me that I needed to go ask forgiveness and confess my sins, and it was going to be my dad. And that's another story for another day. That was a struggle that thankfully the Lord gave me victory in. But my dad said, I'll never forget. I went into the kitchen, and my dad was sitting there. And I said, and he said, Dad, I... And Grandpa stopped him. And he said, Bobby, I forgave you years ago. That's the character of a father. They don't focus on what we did wrong. They focus on who we are. They focus on restoration. God is a God of restoration. He looks at a creation that rebelled against him. He looks at a creation that spit at him. He looked at a creation that built other idols that they could worship instead of him. He knew full well that when he created our first parents and he gave them this beautiful garden where they could have everything that they could ever imagine and walk with him, be totally at one with him, he knew that they would sin. He knew that they would choose a different way, a way of sorrow, a way of separation. Yet he created them anyways. And he created them with a mindset that would allow them to make this choice. And we know that he knew this is what was happening because the scriptures say that before the foundation of the world was laid, the plan of salvation was. before all of the mess, God, the Father, and the Spirit, and the Son are talking. And they had a plan to save our souls. That tells us the character of a father. And as a father, I have to ask myself, is that the nature that I'm bringing to my children? Is that the way they see me? As a spiritual father of a church, is that the way my brothers and my sisters see me? I'm thankful as I was growing up, I had some really good examples. I had examples of fathers that were always ready to give. I didn't know Uncle Guy very well. Uncle Guy passed away when I was quite little. In fact, the only recollection I have of Uncle Guy, he was already sick and he was laying in a lounge chair out at the lake with like an afghan on. So he must have been pretty sick. And so I think I might have been 7 or 8 when Uncle Guy passed away. But Uncle Philip was a different story. Uncle Philip, for whatever reason, believed that he needed to invest in young people. And I remember when my brother turned 16, Uncle Philip paid for my brother to get driver's lessons because he said, you know, Bobby, I need somebody to drive me around. Well, when my brother was driving Uncle Philip around, he really didn't need somebody to drive him around. When I turned 16, he asked me, do you have your license yet? Yeah. He goes, well, would you like to earn some money? And he would just have me come to the house after school. And sometimes they were simple little errands. But he wanted to make a connection with me. He wanted to invest in me. And I wish that I would have been old enough to appreciate some of his theological wisdom. Because he knew scriptures inside out and backwards. When he and my dad would travel, maybe some of those trips were here, he would give my father a scripture verse and say, Brother Robert, what does that mean? How does that apply? And he would challenge him to think at a deep level spiritually. As a kid, Sunday school program, Christmas program, at the end, we would all sit there waiting to get our gifts. But we knew that Uncle Philip was going to have to say something first. And he would ask us a question. He goes, now, if you want these gifts, you got to answer this question. And he would give us some somewhat obscure question from the Sunday school. It might have been, we would have thought it was obscure at that time. You know, how many days was Jonah in the belly of the whale? Or he wouldn't have asked us, how many days did it take to get from Joppa to Nineveh? But he may have asked us questions about Nineveh. Another father of mine that wasn't my earthly father, more like a grandfather, was Brother Fritz Meyer. And Uncle Fritz was a relatively quiet man. He was a Bible class teacher. For a while he was the only Bible class teacher. I remember where he took on and then they put others in with him to support him. And as he got older, he was also a tool and die maker. And as he got older, it was harder for him to talk for long periods of time. And I remember when we had a graduation party at church, there were 7 boys, all the same age. Imagine 7 boys from birth to adulthood. Oh my goodness, I felt so bad for our Sunday school teachers. Because you imagine each class knows we're going to get these 7 tares all at once. But as we had this graduation celebration, Brother Fritz knew that I was going to be a toolmaker. He knew that I was going to start an apprenticeship. In fact, I already had a job waiting for me as soon as I graduated. And after the celebration was over and these people had been kind enough to give us cards with money in it, and we had cake and this wonderful celebration, he calls me over and he goes, I have something for you. And so I went over and he hands me this paper bag. He puts it in my hands and he said, Erna, that was his wife, Erna says you wouldn't be interested in this garbage. But I knew better. Junk, but I knew better. And when I opened it up, there were tools that he had used to make a living. depth micrometers, thread micrometers, a 1 to 2 inch micrometer and a 2 to 3 inch micrometer. Just things that, and if you're not a tool maker, it probably doesn't make any sense. But to realize that I was given tools that this man provided for his family with. Every time I picked up those tools, I thought, he took an interest in me. And then, a few years later, his throat gets worse. And he says, I can't teach. You're taking my place. I'm like, whoa. Uncle Fritz, sorry. I'm not a teacher. He goes, no, you are. Now, I don't know how he got away with this. I would have thought there needed to be some voting or something. But no, he said, you're going to do it. And you're going to take my class on Sunday. So I remember getting up, shaking like crazy. And Uncle Fritz sat in the fourth row. And Aunt Erna sat on the other side of the aisle. And whenever I would struggle with a question or I would ask a question that somebody didn't answer correctly or if the class started to go off course, he would make a comment to bring it back. And then I would look at Aunt Erna and she would just smile with this angelic smile. It's okay. Keep going. So for a couple months, I took his spot. And then all of a sudden, I'm noticing he can talk fine. Like, okay, Uncle Fritz, it's time for you to take back over. He goes, oh, no. He says, you're replacing me on the schedule. That's a father looking out into a fellowship and seeing a young person and saying, there's something here that I want to help develop. There's something, God has gifted this brother with something. He saw something I didn't see. I'm going to invest in him. And I'm going to have him take my place for a bit. And when he struggles, when he gets challenged, when he gets concerned, we're going to be there for him. We're not going to let him fall down. Or at least not fall hard. Who do you see that you know that has a gift that needs to be identified? Maybe a gift that's been buried for years. Did you ever think that maybe God's asking you to spark something? To give an opportunity? They may not be good at it at the beginning. I know that I wasn't good as a Bible class teacher. But he saw something. And he wanted that to be developed. We have a vacation coming up. And I'm going to spend it. We're so blessed. We have 11 grandkids. Emmy will be 6 months old, right, honey, when we're on vacation? Yeah, Emmy will be 6 months old. And Silas and Ethan are 13. So we go from 6 months to 13. And I love my grandchildren. And sometimes it gets so chaotic that I just have to go out of the house. Like, I go out on the deck and it's January. And I just need a moment when it's a little quieter. And I don't know how this man that I was talking to picked up on this. I was certain at one point that my wife called him. So I was on a virtual meeting with a gentleman on Monday, and we were talking about my vacation that's coming up. And he said, so you have grandchildren? I said, yes, 11. And he said, I want to challenge you with something. He said, I want you, while you're spending time with your grandkids, to find something unique about each child that you delight in. And I want you to tell them. Individually. Isn't that beautiful? I don't know how many children or grandchildren Mark Bentley has. But I know one thing. He understands the heart of a father. He understands the heart of God. Because everything about us that's good comes from God. Every unique gift and skill that we have comes from God. And he delights in that. I remember hearing a man say one time, he was so, I thought he was quite arrogant. And he said, you know, this is a gift that I have. And it's my responsibility to get better at it and to exercise that gift. And I'm thinking, oh man, that's quite an arrogant thing to say. And he said, but did you notice how I said that? It's a gift. It's from God. I did nothing to get it. And if I don't use it, he can take it away. So, fathers and mothers and God understands that we need to find the giftedness, delight in the giftedness, and encourage the giftedness in others. There's one last verse that I want to share before concluding. And as I was thinking about the spiritual fathers, I had to think of the relationship that Paul had specifically with two young men, Timothy and Titus. And he referred to them both as his sons in the Lord. Now, we have no recollection at all that the Apostle Paul would have had any children of his own. We do believe he probably was married because he was a member of the Sanhedrin and they were all married. He probably was a widower. But these were special to him. These young men, he saw giftedness in them. He took them with him on his journeys. And when they were ready to take responsibility, he gave it to them, even though they may not have felt they were ready. Because we'll notice that he had to say to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. And in Titus, he was telling Titus, you need to now go and do this, this, and this. And when you go do this, tell them this. But there was a verse that I love in 2 Timothy 3. I'd like to read verses 14 through 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, comma, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Some people have said to me, how is it that you can have this interpretation of a scripture? That's the way I read it. That's the way I've read it. You know, if I look at it in the Amplified or another translation, it supports this conviction that I have that that's exactly what I believe the scripture means. And I was taught that. And I've examined it. And I've examined the lives of those who have taught it to me. That's good enough for me. I know who told me. And who assured me, and it was in perfect line with what I read and what the Spirit said. And I've looked at their life, I've looked at what they've accomplished, I've looked at what the Lord has accomplished with them, that's a much better way to say it. Why would I not believe it? And then in verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I love that direction that this spiritual father gave to his spiritual son, Timothy. Continue in what I've taught you. You know, I used to think too that it was pretty arrogant of the Apostle Paul to say, be ye followers of me. Wow. But Paul was convinced. Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And Jesus gave Paul instruction that the other apostles didn't have. I believe the Spirit gave Paul clarity on things that maybe the other apostles didn't quite have yet. And he was able to teach that to others. And then he could say, come, follow me. Emulate me. And it made sense too for them of that day to walk in the footsteps of the rabbi, so to speak. They watched how he lived. His life and his words matched, and they saw truth in what others saw as foolishness. My prayer for all of us, beginning with myself, is that I can have more of my Father's heart. That I can be looking, expecting those to come home, those who have wandered from the Lord to come back. And that when I see them, I run to meet them. And that I go out each day to see who might the Lord be bringing home today. May the Lord add his blessing to these words. I've asked Brother Willie if he could find a hymn.
Let's sing together 324. 324, take my life and let it be. Maybe the first two and last two verses.
The most blessed today to be under the sound of the Word of God. We thank Brother Harry for the Bible class lesson, Brother David for an inspiring message on our fathers. It is Father's Day, and as we all reflect upon those who have been either earthly fathers or perhaps spiritual fathers or maybe both, it's just a wonderful opportunity for us to do so, and let's do that today throughout this day. And think about all those beautiful qualities that God blessed them with that they then imparted unto us, and the legacy that that carries forward for as many years as we have breath. Yes, there have been those who have invested in us, as Brother David said, but none can compare to our Heavenly Father, who also invested in us. He invested his all. We read in Galatians the following. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And that's the kind of God we have. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, Our Father. He is our Father in heaven. And he's not only that, he is Abba, Father. And he has invested his all unto us. Therefore, how shall we live? We give back our all, as we just sung in that beautiful hymn, Take My Heart, Lord Jesus, as a gift for thee designed. May that be our ongoing prayer. Brother Willie, may I ask you to close with a prayer? I'll bring you the mic. Let's all stand and
pray. Our Father, our God, we're thankful for this beautiful Sabbath day. We're thankful, Lord, for inspiring the Bible class lesson and the lessons we might learn there and apply to our lives. We're thankful for the message this morning of the Father that unceasingly will pursue after His children. And we pray, Lord, we would do the same, that we would pursue after our loved ones and those that we come in contact with, that we might be able to share the good news, the gospel message, that we might share the gift of salvation with them that's only available through Jesus Christ, through His shed blood, His sacrifice on the cross, His resurrection, and now intercession on our behalf. We thank You, Lord, for this. We pray, Lord, that not only we have heard Thy word, we pray, Lord, that we might remember Thy word, but, Lord, application would be found in each one of our lives, that we could be a bright and shining light for You, that we might be useful vessels in Your kingdom. And we pray, Lord, for this church, Lord, that it could be a bright and shining light in the community. We pray for all that would come and go through these doors. We just pray, Lord, that they might be able to see the love of Jesus Christ among the brethren and that they would want to experience His love too. We thank You, Lord, now for each one. We thank You, Lord, also for the gifts of food and drink that will be provided. We pray a blessing on that, that it would nourish our bodies, that we might be able to labor and work for You and the kingdom. We thank You, Lord, now for all this and pray it in Your Son, Jesus Christ, who's made it all possible. Amen.